shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
And welcome again to another edition of the International Happy Station. I'm Keith Perron, here with you for the next 55 minutes. Yes, 55 minutes of chit-chat and music, and hopefully a little bit more, including some very strange noises, which I promise to make towards the end of the show. Strange noises. I wonder what those can be. No, I'm just kidding about that. Anyway, it's really nice to have you with us. Check us out online, by the way. Our website is www.pcjmedia.com. And we have a new poll running for the month of May. And it's a very easy one this time. There's only two choices. The question is, who does a better job at reporting on Russia? Again, who does a better job at reporting on Russia? Is it number one, the Voice of Russia World Service, or the satellite channel Russia Today? Again, who does a better job at reporting on Russia, the Voice of Russia World Service, or Russia Today? Log on to pcjmedia.com to cast your vote. The next thing that I want to mention, because I don't think we've mentioned it for a while, but we do have a Facebook page. So if you're already a member of Facebook, just do a search for PCJ Media or The Happy Station Show. Come in and join the group. And don't be afraid to add me as one of your friends, as I love to talk to people all around the world. Just do a search for Keith Perron, that's P-E-R-R-O-N, and I will add you. Now, some people say Perron. Yes, Americans say Perron. Hello, Perron, how you doing? My Latin American friends always say Perron. Yes, and everyone else says Perron, or you know the French way, of course. Yes, it's very, very nice. Oh, yes, I'm being so silly today. Anyway, it's nice to have you with us on the show. Coming up, we're going to be joined a little later on by King David Mackenzie as he presents to us another edition of Mackenzie's Book of Records. And no, it's not the kind of records that you may be thinking, like who's the tallest man, who is the shortest woman, who is the fattest, where is the fattest elephant in the world located, the largest cat. But anyway, we'll have that coming up later on in the show. And also, as you may know, a while ago, about 2 weeks ago, I wanted to introduce to you new shortwave listeners. And when I mean new shortwave listeners, I should rephrase that. I should say younger shortwave listeners. To show that there are people under the age of 30, I'm going to be 40 very soon, under the age of 30, who do listen to shortwave on a regular basis and happen to be located in North America. We're going to be joined by one of them in just a little bit. But first, let's kick off with a little bit of music. This is something that I played last week on my jazz show here in Taiwan, and it is Carl Perkins. Now, you're saying to yourself, Carl Perkins? He didn't really play jazz. Different Carl Perkins. Yes, a different Carl Perkins. Here he is, pianist Carl Perkins, and The Lady is a Tramp on the International Happy Station. The Lady is a Tramp, Carl Perkins. And not the Carl Perkins that you're probably thinking of, but a different Carl Perkins. Anyway, you're listening to the International Happy Station. It's nice to have you with us. Now, before we get to our interview with my special guest today, I want to tell you about some upcoming special editions of the show. Next week, I'll be joined by Sun Ho. She is a singer from Singapore who has also released a number of singles and albums in the United States. And then also not too far off in the future, the one and only Bob McGrath, otherwise known as Bob from Sesame Street. He's also going to be joining us on the show. That's a really fantastic show, by the way. You're going to enjoy the anecdotes that he had told us about working with Mitch Miller and Sesame Street and everything else, and, you know, the inside gossip, like, you know, who is Oscar the Grouch dating, and, you know, Big Bird, yes. So, join us very soon on the Happy Station for that interview. But next week, my special guest is Sun Ho. Now, not too long ago on the show, I mentioned that I wanted to have as guests, every once in a while, new shortwave listeners. And when I mean new shortwave listeners, let's say, that have been listening to shortwave for less than 10 years, are under 30 years old, and live in North America. Now, some of our longtime shortwave listeners who listen to Happy Station may think, oh, that's an oddity. But they are out there. They are out there. You just have to find them. So we not too long ago on the show, we had Chris. And today, I'm joined by Brandon Monahan in the USA. And I came across Mondin because, Brandon, I should say, because he added me as one of his friends on Facebook, and we chatted on Facebook back and forth a few times, and he's a regular shortwave listener, and he's a very interesting guy. So we're going to bring you that interview right now. When did you start listening?
Really back in middle school. I think my first radio that I received was a birthday present for my 13th birthday. So basically since then.
And obviously the radio had the shortwave bands, or was it just a standard AM/FM receiver and then you kind of went on to shortwave later on?
Oh no, yeah, it was a radio with the shortwave bands on it.
So how did you decide that one day you wanted to listen to it? Were you just curious and said, oh, I wonder what this is, and that was it?
A little bit. I mean, my first sort of introduction to shortwave or world band radio, or at least the first I'd heard of it, was on the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego program, where they were giving them out as consolation presents to contestants and so forth. I was watching that show religiously when I was a younger kid.
Wait a second. Go back for a moment. They were giving shortwave radios as a consolation prize?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Yep. Usually in the like the semifinal round or something like that, they would. It was like a package where you could get, like, you know, watches and T-shirts and a world band radio, and so forth. So that was the first I'd heard of them. And then I guess it sort of went from there. Actually, it was totally by accident that I got into shortwave radio, because I was looking for something. I'm a big sports fan, and I was back then, and I was looking for something that would allow me to listen to out of area radio, sportscasts, and for instance, to listen to team broadcasts from outside my listening area. So I guess if this had happened maybe 15 or so years later, a few years later with the advent of satellite radio, I would have probably skipped over shortwave entirely.
So when you were listening to shortwave, you weren't just listening, obviously, to sports programs. Were you listening to other things as well?
Yeah. I mean, the first station I picked up was Radio Netherlands. It just so happened to be on the air, right when I took it out of the box.
You know, that's actually not an unusual thing. Many people that I've spoken to, they said one of the first stations they actually heard was Radio Netherlands. I mean, at the time, Radio
Really?
Netherlands had a booming signal into North America.
Oh yeah, yeah. It would come in really well on the 31 meter band, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon, relayed from Bonaire.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really convenient, you know, living in Western North America, that it would come in so well.
Right. And what about other broadcasters, let's say like Radio Havana Cuba or Voice of Russia? Do you also listen to them as well?
Oh, yeah. Those came, days and weeks later, where you'd hear the big stations roll in. Swiss Radio International was another one I used to listen to right when I was getting into it. Of course, you know, BBC, Voice of Russia, and then other stations as well.
Mm-hmm.
Voice of Russia and RHC, China Radio International, what was back then called the Voice of Free China,
right,
as well.
You know, in the last 15 years, we've seen a tremendous change happen in shortwave. Shortwave is not global like it used to be. It's now become very regional. For example, in Africa, which has a big shortwave audience, some of the most, the biggest audiences, let's say, that Radio France International have for shortwave is,
yeah,
Africa, even though they go to other regions as well. And it's the same with, mm-hmm, other broadcasters. Latin America is very important, and many parts of Asia. But North America, Western Europe, and now Eastern Europe and Australia and developed countries in Asia, they've either stop broadcasting, shortwave broadcasting entirely, or maybe now have only 30 minutes or 1 hour on one frequency.
Yeah.
Something that I've noticed, especially with listeners in North America and Western Europe,
that it's other platforms, right?
It's other platforms. I mean, it also seems to be very generational, because you have a generation, mm-hmm, let's say, that started listening on shortwave maybe back in the 50s and 60s or,
right,
early 70s. And they seem to be more angry about the shortwave cuts than, let's say, the younger generation. Do you?
Yeah.
What about yourself? I mean, do you just listen to shortwave, or do you also listen to other platforms as well?
Well, I think to answer your the first part of that generational question, and I think this is something that we've both noticed, and I think we messaged each other back and forth about this, was that whenever a station is announcing that they're cutting back or they're eliminating shortwave, we see on the message boards and the comment boards online, it's always the same, you know, two or three or four people that are commenting and like you said, that are very angry about that. That are like, you know, this is the end of shortwave radio, and, you know, what about all the other places that you mentioned and so forth. But as for me, really now with somebody basically either leaving shortwave or going to other platforms, it's a lot more convenient to listen online nowadays. You don't have to deal with the static and the hiss and the fade out of shortwave radio. And it, you know, it comes in crystal clear whenever you've got an internet connection, or, you know, with me, wherever I've got an iPhone connection,
mm-hmm,
and so forth. So now, I mean, really, it's either a novelty or a hobby, or it's stations that I can't get online, like, you know, Voice of Korea or something like that from Pyongyang, or other places where they haven't discovered an iPhone interface, like Australia and New Zealand, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just a lot more convenient to listen to the internet or listen to stations on the internet, and you realize that shortwave is just, it's just another carrier. It's just another means of getting the same message across that you can get from a podcast feed or an on-demand or a live stream. And in some case, I mean, there are some stations that I have never received on shortwave before. Polish Radio External Service is an example of that. I've never picked them up on shortwave, and I've never had to pick them up on shortwave because of the World Radio Network, or because, you know, they have a live stream and so forth.
Mm-hmm. You see, something that I have been criticized about, because when it comes to shortwave, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think that shortwave doesn't have a future in developed countries. Yes, you will have an audience. There is an audience that is there, but it's a very small audience. And compared to the size of an audience that broadcasters can get in developed countries, either via podcasts or other, or satellite, for example, the money spent just to keep maybe a 250-kilowatt transmitter on the air, it doesn't warrant it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to do so. Now, because I've made this comment before, people think that I am against shortwave. I have to stress, I am not against shortwave. I think shortwave still plays a vital role, especially in developing countries and in areas where there is no other option. Now, some people have written me saying, you know, I live in one part of the U.S. and we don't have broadband yet and the connection is really too slow and I need shortwave. But you know what? That is such a small percent. That is such a small percent of the overall generation, of the overall audience, let's say, in North America.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of stations that have cut back on shortwave have stressed that nowadays, in the information age, their whole basis for shortwave broadcasting, if you're Radio Netherlands, BBC, Deutsche Welle, RFI, and so forth, is to provide an outlet, a media outlet, where you don't have press freedom, basically. It's the alternative source of information from the government line. Here in the United States, we have any number of sources where you can go to, and we have a constitutionally guaranteed free press.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you said, it's a very small percentage of the country that doesn't have broadband internet access. But if you don't have broadband internet access, you still probably have access to, if you want them, 300 or so television channels, or, you know, maybe a dozen radio stations and so forth. And a lot of those radio stations, I mean, if you're National Public Radio and so forth, you relay Radio Netherlands or the BBC World Service overnight anyway.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing as well you also have to look at is that things are changing very fast. I mean, if I just think back even maybe 5 years ago, it's changed even so much in 5 years. I mean, you know, people are suspecting that in many developing countries. I mean, I can give you a good example. For example, in Vietnam, where I recently just went for a visit, 3-4 years ago, the internet connection in Vietnam was terrible. It was probably the worst that I have ever seen. But in the last 3 years, they have made so many changes, especially in the large cities like Hanoi, Saigon, and it's now reaching out into the rural areas as well. I mean, Saigon and Hanoi have as fast an internet connection as I do here in Taiwan.
Yeah, but again, even with the internet, in a country like Vietnam, it's still a country where shortwave radio makes sense, mm-hmm. where Radio Free Asia makes sense.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, VOA and on down the line, because even with the internet, as we've seen in mainland China, they have the firewall, you know, the Great Firewall of China, and I would expect that Vietnam would be no different, but... Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just recently, Deutsche Welle put out their broadcasting plan for China, and from their survey, they found that listeners in China, because the Deutsche Welle website is not blocked in China, but for shortwave, they have less than 10% of their total listeners, less than 10% listen on shortwave. But when you consider how big a population it is, which is 1.3 billion people... Mm-hmm. Less than 10% is a big audience.
Right, and even still, you're seeing that if you're given the option between listening online and listening on shortwave, especially when you have, you know, FireDrake jamming, it just makes a whole lot more sense to listen online and to get information from the same source, but on a different platform, which isn't subject to fading and the daily activities of the ionosphere and so forth.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that I've discussed, I've discussed this with people before. Here in Taiwan, I think when it comes to shortwave listeners, there's probably even less than 2% of the population here that listen to shortwave. Now, China beams daily programs to Taiwan in Chinese that nobody here in Taiwan listens to. First of all, because they don't care what the hell media in China says about Taiwan or even about China. But the shortwave audience here in Taiwan has always been incredibly small, despite the fact that one of the major manufacturers of shortwave radios is actually based here, which is Sanjen. Now, I have known the Sanjen people for a number of years, and they have a number of good radios. In fact, they, for a long time, they even made radios for other companies, for example, like Sony, Panasonic, and other ones as well. And just recently, I was involved in a discussion with someone over shortwave, and he was saying, oh, you know, there's a huge market, and people are buying shortwave radios like crazy. But that, and I said to him, well, then explain to me why Sanjen would close their shortwave production line. Now, Sanjen still has literally thousands of radios in stock, but their new plan, of course, is to not make any new ones because it's turned out to be now such a tiny percentage of their overall radio sales, because now they're going towards satellite radios, the traditional AM/FM receivers, DAB. But it just seems that some people just refuse to admit that, you know, in developed areas, technology is changing.
And it's interesting that you should mention what mainland China beams to Taiwan, because Radio Havana Cuba basically operates under the same business model for their broadcasts to the United States. It's almost as if they're trying to counter radio and TV Marti. As if they're expecting that there's going to be this huge audience of American shortwave listeners that are A, tuning in, and B, you know, actually being persuaded by what they're hearing on Radio Havana Cuba. You know, and I think we've had this discussion before as well, that Radio HC would probably be very surprised to know how small their listenership is here in the United States with the amount of programming that they beam our way, and with the fact that listeners to Radio HC here in the United States are shortwave listener hobbyists who are not who are not in any danger for the most part of being persuaded.
Well, you know, when I was at Radio Havana Cuba, where I spent 3 years, I remember a few times going to the listener department, and I've had discussions with people at RHC since then. And I remember one time going to the listener department. I said, "Oh, where are the letters for this week's mailbag show, which I was hosting from time to time?" And they would give me over the letters, and then I would write the show. And I honestly have to say, I don't think one letter was from what I would call a regular listener. 9 out of the 10 letters, maybe, that I would have at one time were all from DXers, all wanting either
DXers, right?
Yeah, all wanting either a QSL card or some type of pennant from Radio Havana Cuba.
Right, right, and I think, and that's the other part of that is, I remember sort of anecdotally a couple of years ago when Zimbabwe started going on shortwave, and they were announcing, just based on reception reports, really, or requests for QSLs and so forth, that they had listeners in, you know, X amount of countries all over the world. And it never even occurred to them that these listeners had almost no interest whatsoever in the programming content. It was all about getting that rare DX catch and getting a QSL card.
Well, you know, the thing actually that, you know, I also want to stress again, because I've been criticized about this, is I have said before that, you know, I have come across DXers maybe whose headphones were a little bit too tight. But there are a lot of DXers out there who are extremely normal and are very nice people, and I have nothing against them at all. But there is a certain group within that are a bit fanatical, very fanatical. And it just seems like just before I dropped Happy Station for North America on shortwave, I remember including a message in the show that went out on Shortwave saying, okay, if you want me to continue, write me. And I had mentioned to on some of the blogs that I was going to drop Shortwave to North America and stuff like that. And then not too long after, I decided, you know, I'm going to go through some of the reception reports that came in. Now, what listeners did not know is occasionally, very occasionally, the show that I would transmit on Shortwave was different than the show that I would upload. Sometimes the show that was transmitted on Shortwave, I would never even upload on the website. I discovered some reception reports that were sent in to me from, I'm not going to mention any names, but from some listeners that sent in reception reports for a show that had never been broadcast. It never went on 9955 kilohertz at all. But they sent in a reception report with details, man spoke, woman spoke, the silly Simpo code, and everything. And I was saying to myself when looking at this, going, how did they listen? This show never went to air in North America. How did they listen?
Well, first of all, I'm guessing that the Simpo code was always straight fives. And if it wasn't, there's probably something wrong with somebody's computer.
You hit the nail on the head. Occasionally, yeah. there was a four in there. I think maybe to throw me off. But the time was right. The frequency was right. The contents were right, except it was the contents of a show that never went out on 9955 kilohertz.
But at the end
of the letter, they said, "Could you please send me this, that, and the other?"
Yeah. Well, I mean, just so we're on the level. I never listened to your show on 9955 kilohertz, in part because I can probably count on one hand the number of times I have successfully picked up WRMI. It's a very difficult station for some reason or another to receive here in the Pacific Northwest, probably because they aim their signal southward.
Right.
For most of the time. But again, you know, it's just a lot more convenient to listen online if given the option.
Well, you know, the funniest reception report that I ever got for the shortwave frequency was from a listener in Mumbai, India, who said that he tuned 9955. You know, in the 10 years that I've been here in Asia, and on my rooftop, I have to explain to you, I have a series of different antennas and about three or four different receivers connected to an array antenna and stuff like that. I have never been able to pick up 9955 kilohertz. I don't know how the hell he did it in Mumbai, India, and yet the Simpo code was all fives.
I wonder how that happened.
I wonder how that happened, too. But then at the end, it was like, oh, please send me a QSL card. Please send me a T-shirt and all that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Very funny. Anyway, Brendan, thanks a lot for joining us on the show. And good luck to you. And are you finished school now?
Just about. I've got a few things I have to do with that. I'm in my second year and just sort of wrapping it up.
Right. What are you taking?
I am a grad student at Portland State in political science. I got my undergraduate from The Ohio State University in Columbus, which offered a refreshing new DX climate for starters. So that was one of the benefits of being in Columbus was you get another set of stations that you can't really pick up on the West Coast, and came back to Portland for a master's degree.
All right. Good. Sounds good. All right, Brendan. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I was speaking there with Brendan Monahan, who added me on Facebook a while ago, and as we were talking, I found out that he was a regular Shortwave listener and happens to be under 30 years old. If you would like to come on the show and talk about your experiences as a regular Shortwave listener or DXer, let me know. You can contact me via Facebook. Just do a search for Keith Perron or PCJ Media, or you can contact us via our website at www.pcjmedia.com. And when you're at the website, you can listen to all past editions of Happy Station, including PCJ Radio, which you'll find at the homepage. Once again, www.pcjmedia.com. One of the stations that carries the Happy Station show is KDX. And Carl Blair, who runs KDX, is now live with us here in Taiwan as he brings us a special news story about the erection of a new sign. Carl, what do you have for us?
Everyone is familiar with the big white alphabet letters on the California hillside spelling Hollywood. Now we're doing the same thing in Taipei, Taiwan, and so far our giant stainless steel letters spell the Happy Station. One letter to go, and it's being lowered now. The S fell. Live coverage from KDXradio.com.
Oh, thank you very much, Carl, and hopefully there wasn't too much damage. So the S fell. I wonder what I can do with that. Yes, I'm being very, very silly again. Anyway, you're listening to the International Happy Station Show. Now time for music. Here's Ella Fitzgerald in a country mode. Yes, she's singing country western. How about that? Here she is with Evil on Your Mind on the International Happy Station.
You say I need a rest, why don't I go and see my sister way out west? That's very thoughtful of you, dear, I'm really touched by all this tenderness. But us women are suspicious things, we know that men aren't born with wings. What's making you so kind? Smart, but I'm not blind. I think that you've got evil on your mind. You think that you've been good about as long as most red-blooded he-men could. We've been together for so long, I know another's pasture's looking good. Men don't look at me that certain way from time to time. Don't think that you're the only one that must contend with evil on your mind. Your mind is set on a harem and surrounded by exotic dancing girls. You're hearing pretty music as they run their slender fingers through your curls. Ah, cling on, baby! I thank you for the flowers and the candy, honey, that was very kind. For that's your way of telling me you're sorry for the evil on your mind. Evil on your mind.
Ella Fitzgerald, Evil in Your Mind, here on the International Happy Station. Well, it's now time for this month's edition of Mackenzie's Book of Records. So let's cut to King David Mackenzie in Tucson, Arizona.
And thank you, Keith. Gracious as always. And greetings to all from Tucson. This month we hear one of the greatest innovators in American jazz history, a trumpet player named Bill Chase. We start with one of his earliest recordings when he was featured in the big band of his idol, Maynard Ferguson. From 1959, here is Fannet Janet.
Thank you.
Maynard Ferguson and his orchestra with Bill Chase on one of those trumpets from 1959, Fannet Janet. Should that record sound vaguely familiar to longtime Happy Station listeners, Tom Meyer chose it to be the first piece of music on the Happy Station broadcast of March 14, 1982. Not long after that recording was made, Ferguson found himself firing Chase from the band. It seems his fellows in the trumpet section were complaining to Maynard that Chase was having problems with the arrangements, and they were a bit tired of covering for him. Ferguson concluded that Chase's custom-made trumpet mouthpiece was the problem, and that if he didn't get a replacement mouthpiece, Chase would be out of the band. Chase refused, eventually taking his horn and the same mouthpiece to Stan Kenton's band. After a spell with Kenton, Chase moved, with a new horn and mouthpiece, to Woody Herman's Thundering Herd, where he was the lead trumpet for most of the 1960s. In the late 60s, several rock acts, the Electric Flag, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Chicago, Lighthouse, and Jimi Hendrix among them, began adding jazz elements to their rock arrangements. Chase was very excited by the concept and decided to try his hand at the same basic idea, this time approaching rock from a jazz base. He formed his own group, also named Chase, and cut an album for Epic Records that led off with what we're about to hear, a track enthusiastically and fittingly titled Open Up Wide. We'll be right back. Open Up Wide from the landmark self-titled 1971 album by the jazz rock fusion band Chase, featuring Bill Chase on that wailing trumpet. One of the biggest influences that album had was, ironically, on the career of the man who had fired Bill Chase a dozen years earlier, Maynard Ferguson. From the early 70s on, Ferguson's Big Bop Nouveau band sounded amazingly like Chase's. Oh, and if Open Up Wide sounds vaguely familiar to you shortwave listeners of the old school, it may be because Radio RSA used it as the theme tune for their weekly South African Top 20 record chart countdown shows on Saturdays in the early 1970s. That's where I first heard it. From the studios of KXCI in Tucson, at kxci.org. Please check out the website if you haven't as yet. I'm King David McKenzie, thanking you for spending these moments with me looking through McKenzie's Book of Records. Now, it's back to Perrone of Taipei. Keith?
Thank you very much, King David McKenzie, for McKenzie's Book of Records all the way in Tucson, Arizona. Well, we still have a few more moments, and I thought we'd play one more piece of music. This was a request that came in not too long ago. Well, it's actually not for a particular piece, but somebody said, do you have anything by Peter Nero? And yes, I do. We have two LPs, and I thought we'd play one of the tracks from one of the LPs that I think you'll enjoy. It's from the musical Hair, the title track. Here's Peter Nero on the International Happy Station. Thank you. Hair, Peter Nero here on the International Happy Station, and we've come to the end of this edition of the show. Once again, our website is www.pcjmedia.com, and while you're there, do take part in the poll for this month. There's the funny noise I was telling you that I was going to make. Yes, the poll is, who does a better job at reporting on Russia, the Voice of Russia World Service, or Russia Today? Once again, who does a better job at reporting on Russia, the Voice of Russia World Service, or Russia Today? And you can find out that and much more at www.pcjmedia.com. All right, what was the next thing? Oh, yes, before we go, just want to remind you again that next week my special guest is Singapore singer Sun Ho, and I think you're going to have a good giggle at that show, because Sun and I, for some reason, I don't know what's happened, but over the last 10 years, we seem to get together once a year for an interview. It's very odd. We've done like 10 so far. This is the 11th. Have no idea why things have happened that way. We always have a good time when we get together. She'll be joining us on the show next week. So, on behalf of our production assistant, Johan Backer, our technician, Kevin Lee, this is Keith Perron, all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying to all of you out there in Radioland, or the one person listening, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
KDX World Round Radio presents The History of Happiness. In 1995, happiness was discontinued worldwide. Since that time, things have become more and more serious. Until one day, Keith Perron and PCJ Media brought happiness back to the world, one short wave at a time. Listen for The Happy Station Show. The History of Happiness came to you from KDXRadio.com.